Celtics, Warriors, Panthers, rallies for game four wins. Do you guys know when you call the second and third rallies after you already had the first rally?
Reality.
I'm going to let myself out. If Flasky knew the joke in advance, it's not a good joke.
I know myself.
Let's go around the horn. Oh, man. Yeah. Now I fully regret my decision here.
And I get no points for that.
You do get points for it. Here you go, Mr. Go Flasky. Milwaukee, wow. Boston last night. The technical for Giannis staring down Horford. Make a ruling. Is this tea worthy? But then what happened after? Al Horford, like it's 2009, fourth quarter dominance. How Boston evened it at two? Bill Plaschke around the horn to you. Was last night a series tying game or something more?
I love to say it was all about Boston, all about Horford and his coming back and his rebirth. But let's face it, without Chris Middleton, the Bucks are becoming a weary team. This is about the loss of their 20-point scorer a game, shoot 16 shots a game. They're their big-time scorer. Giannis is lost without him. They've been outscored 77-51 in the fourth quarter the last two games. Giannis, when he's off the floor and Jrue Holiday is on the floor, they're a minus 27. They're not the same team without Middleton, and it's catching up to him against physical Boston Celtics.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I did to get through college and just cheat on Bill's paper because that's kind of the same answer I have. I think, fourth quarter is,
you're welcome.
Is Middleton time. Middle time, do we call that? Is middle time a thing? Anyways, that's Chris Middleton time.
Okay.
And so, he was at 28 usage rate in the fourth quarter in the regular season, which would put him in the top 20. So they need him. Giannis is getting more tired as this series goes on. He's sucking air. First two rows in the crowd are like running out of oxygen because he's so gassed. He had to sit for a minute in the fourth quarter when they needed him. And as long as this series goes, they're going to be in big trouble.
Israel Gutierrez, bring you in here. Was this a series tying game or a series changing game?
It was a series tying game. And I love my Dominican brother, my fellow Gator Al Horford, for creating the storyline that he did for himself. But he basically can thank Mike Budenholzer and Brook Lopez and that drop coverage, pick and roll coverage of Milwaukee for this, because 80% of his shots were just benefiting off of that catch, shoot, or catch, fake, and drive. And so, as much as, yes, by the end of the game, Giannis was kind of tired. That would explain why Jason Tatum got some easy looks. Probably the whole team was a little bit tired. And toward the end, he sort of rallied himself and carried the Celtics to that 10-point lead. But I don't think that you have to necessarily concern yourself with Al Horford necessarily repeating that. Or if you're Mike Budenholzer, maybe change the coverage a little bit. Yes, even for Al Horford, change the coverage a little bit, sort of confuse the Celtics there, and maybe you can steal a game in Boston. I still think this can go seven easily. I think if you're saying Al Horford can have this type of game, I think Jrue Holiday can have a bounce-back type of game. Game, whether it be in Boston or at home. So I'd still think this thing goes south.
Monica McNutt.
Interesting. I would like to point out after the exchange of dunks, Al Horford went on to outscore Giannis 19-17, which is notable. And while he might not repeat such a high performance, you've got to look at this Boston team who we continue to do this to. Oh, Kevin Durant will figure it out. Oh, Giannis will figure it out. Wait a minute. This defense is legit. And back to Al Horford, who you might not need in terms of offense to have another 30-point night. He's held Giannis to 30% when he's the primary defender. And so they have a formula that has been able to stifle Giannis. And so, yes, the Bucks are missed, but the Celtics defense is the real deal.
Flashy after the horn.
Boston's 43 points in the fourth quarter was the most in the fourth quarter in playoff franchise history. The Bucks are exhausted.
But is there really much of a playoff history when you talk about the Boston Celtics? Wow, that's
not as much as the Lakers. Not as much as the Lakers, but close.
Oh, man.
Well, you didn't need to say that, Flashy. Let's move on. Curless Warriors beat the Jawless Grizzlies. That sounds like a headline. Warriors were listless for so long in this one, then the rally at the end. David, was it the Warriors coming back or the Grizzlies unable to steal it?
I think it's a little bit of both, well, a lot of bit of both. The Warriors stunk for the first three quarters. I think everybody can admit that they looked horrible for three quarters. But the fourth quarter, this is what championship teams do. Stephen, what school did he go to? Curry, 18 points in the fourth quarter, defensive stops, rebounds, all kind of important things. This series actually is not so bad for the Grizzlies. I know they're going to lose. Sorry, Monica. They're going to lose this series. But this actually reminds me of the 2013 Warriors-Spurs, not the 2015 Warriors-Grizzlies, because they are playing a championship team that is more athletic, that could probably, the Grizzlies probably could win, but they can't close it because they don't have the experience. They're getting their PhD in playoff basketball right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be something brewing between David Dennis Jr. and Monica McNutt. Monica, please, floor is yours.
I am not ready to give up all hope on the Memphis Grizzlies, but I will admit last night was an absolute blown opportunity. Mm-hmm. When you looked at the way that Klay and Steph in particular were shooting at the end of the third quarter, dismal. Klay was 0-for-7 from behind the three-point line and not being able to close. Plus, this game you had the addition of Steven Adams, which gave them a little bit of an advantage. And for the first time, they were able to contend in points in the paint. They absolutely blew that one. But if we go big picture, Ja comes back. This team continues to build. They're going to be a problem down the road.
Down the road in this series? Or, okay, so.
Big road.
3-1 doesn't mean it's over. We've seen teams come back from 3-1. Israel Gutierrez, big road. What are you thinking about?
Like I-95, is that the big road we're talking about here?
Remember,
look, I'm cheating off of David's paper here.
405.
Because yeah, there you go, Izzy.
I do think it's a little bit of both here, where that first half, or actually first three quarters almost, you couldn't recognize the Warriors. Klay Thompson looked terrible. Steph Curry was missing a bunch of shots. And then at the end, not only did the Warriors look like themselves again, Steph like himself, Draymond defensively like himself, and Klay Thompson, but the Memphis Grizzlies desperately missed Ja Morant there. And the reason why is because you saw at the end there,
absolutely,
twice, the decision to go against the best defensive player on the floor one-on-one, Draymond Green, in an isolation situation when you need a basket. That's not great. Jaren Jackson Jr., not a great decision there. And so even if it was Ja going against Draymond, that I'm fine with. But somebody else, no. So I think they desperately missed him. I think they can organize a little bit better. But I don't think you're going to see that level of Warriors poor shooting ever again in this series. So I think
I've heard that once before in this series, though. They've had two very, very poor performances from the field. It's happened twice now. Plaschke.
I've been around the Clippers many years. I know a lot about blown 3-1 leads. This ain't it. This ain't happening. The Grizz are 0-5. I know everybody said, although they're 20-5 without Ja during the season. They've lost their last four games without Morant. This team cannot win in the playoffs without him. Look at the rebounding numbers. Golden State's out-rebounding the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies were the leading rebounding team in the NBA last year. They're doing it at all different levels. Memphis doesn't have a chance anymore.
Bill's calling it over. Monica, did you hear
it's
that?
Over.
Bill's calling it over. Did he convince you?
I do understand that, and it's going to take a Herculean effort. They get to go home where they're feeling good. I wouldn't be surprised if Memphis is able to get another game in this series when they get Ja back. Only if Ja plays.
Look, Dylan Brooks, I know a lot of people are on him about taking all those shots. He can make some of those shots, okay? And if he makes a few of those shots, this is 2-2, and we're going back to Memphis.
Monica doesn't agree. Monica doesn't want Dylan Brooks being the one shooting
the
ball there.
Listen, Izzy, I hear you, but last night I was very concerned that Dylan Brooks may or may not have been trying to throw the basketball games because his shot selection was poor.
Whoa, Monica, whoa.
The fan and Monica came out there a little bit. That's okay. We move on. Two game fives tonight. No need to be coy, Monty Williams. You're the coy. Coach of the year. This is really sweet, wasn't it? And in the other series, of course, maybe the table's turning with the return of Embiid. Israel, you know I love my pivotal game fives. Where's the pivot?
Look, I think they're both equally as pivotal because I think both of these
equal
seeds can win the next two easily, and all of a sudden you're. But I do think that the team that needs the bigger performance in this one to feel better about themselves has to be Phoenix, because you look at their performances in Dallas, especially Chris Paul, almost unrecognizable. 7 turnovers in game 3, just the 5 points, and fouled out in game 4. I think they really need a boost of what they're used to in order to feel good about themselves. The Miami Heat, they missed a lot of open shots. They scored 108 points, like Kyle Lowry said, and missed a ton of open shots. I think if they get home, make some open shots, they'll feel fine. I think Phoenix needs it a
little bit. David Dennis Jr., you see a pivot in either one of these series tonight.
Yeah, I think the pivot is like right down the street from King of Diamonds, right there in Miami, because I don't know how the Heat are going to win this series if they do not win this game tonight. They're looking older as the series goes on, and I don't know what's going on. What's the deal with Duncan Robinson? 53% from three. I know he's I know he's rotisserie chicken on defense, but you got to get him in there and get some of those shots made. If they do not win and the 76ers keep looking like they're looking with Harden and Embiid seemingly getting healthier, they're not going to win this series if they don't win tonight.
It's a must-win game. You look at this. Third career show. I'm so proud of you, David. And you're already calling must-win games for games that aren't elimination games. And Bill Plaschke.
Well, the deal on Duncan Robinson, David, is he's played 1 minute. So you're right. He needs to play a little bit more. Lowry's out. That's going to hurt him. But they're benched. The Heat bench is so stacked and it's so overwhelmed, the 76er bench, that the Heat will be fine. I agree with Izzy. Phoenix is a team that has to worry about it. Ayton needs to show up bigger. Bridges needs to show up bigger. Payne needs to show up bigger. And every game that goes on, Chris Paul gets a little more injured, a little more, you know, stiff, a little more beaten up, a little more angry. That's the way he just does it. That's his history. The longer the series goes, the more less threat Paul becomes. They need to win this thing now.
Monica McNutt.
This one's tough. I'm going to go with David, though. I think that Miami's in a more dire position, especially now with the absence of Lowry. It almost feels like there's a little bit of a role reversal. So much of the injury conversation around the 76ers coming in, and now quietly for Miami, they've been banged up. Sure, their bench has been terrific, but one stat that really stands out with and without Joel Embiid is the rebounding, where Miami had the advantage, obviously, without him. They were going 91 up to 71, and then they were -8 in that category. I mean, that goes to second chance points, James Harden finding his rhythm, the whole bit. Miami's got to show
Woody
up.
Harris.
I'm not too concerned about Kyle Lowry. Miami has been without their stars all season long. Missing Joel Embiid is a little bit different than missing Kyle Lowry. And Bill, please do not Google King of Diamonds in Miami. Don't worry about that.
You're going to give Flash a heart attack. David Dennis Jr., last word here. Finish us off.
I will say I'm a little concerned about how dependent the Suns are on Chris Paul. When he has bad games, they just cannot overcome it. It's a little worrying.
Buy or sell on the other side.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Igor Shesterkin named Vezina Trophy finalist today, and he's got to be the favorite to win it all. But at the moment, having a hard time with Penguins. Pittsburgh 7, Rangers 2 last night. Pittsburgh up 3-1 now in the series. He's still the best goalie in the league, his coach said. The other guys have to play better, his coach said. And they'll stick with him for game 5, his coach said. Monica McNutt, this is New York, this is your jurisdiction. Is sticking with Shesterkin the best strategy?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to go with the guy that put up a historic save percentage that put him third in the NHL after the season. And to the coach's point about the team, yes, 16 goals, I get it. But 6 were off broken plays and 3 were off deflections. That is a team thing. You got to stay with your goalie. He's been the guy all year.
Rick Gutierrez.
Analytics.
Yeah, Gallant said they played soft in front of Igor, and I know you don't love this, Tony, but I kind of look at this as a Rudy Gobert, Utah Jazz situation. He's a great defender at the rim, but he can't stop everything if all the perimeter defenders are just letting him get to the rim. So, of course you got to stick with him. You're not going to bench Gobert.
I
was already down anyway with a good analogy.
That's legit, isn't it?
I agree with that. But we don't need to go there with Rudy Gobert right now. David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, generally, I say stick with the best player, stick with your guns, but you're down 3-1. Nobody's come back from that in 7 years. First of all, it's a lot, way too much 3-1 comeback talk in this episode for my liking. But anyway, I think the backup, Georgiev, has been, you know, only allowed 2 out of 31 shots. I think he's been playing a little bit better. Give him a shot.
Really? So you'd pull the goalie. And Plashy, how about you?
How hard is it for Georgiev to be in there? The game's already over with. It's like garbage time. Of course he hasn't allowed goal. No, you stick with the best goalie in the league. The guy who's going to win the trophy for the best goalie in the league. I don't have the hockey analytics that others have had on this show, but Monica has. But still, give him.
We're going to mute that. We'll move on. The Dallas mayor saying the city wants a second NFL team. is a second Dallas football team opposite the Cowboys a good idea, a bad idea, or the greatest, worst idea ever, Israel Gutierrez?
I'm going to go with option C here. You know, you start comparing sort of New York. You're talking about three states, essentially, there that cheer for two teams. L.A., they can't even fill their stadiums. But when you talk about the worst possible little brother situation for an NFL team, it's the one that's in Dallas, where the other team is America's team. They're going to struggle there. So I know there's an owner that's willing to take on that challenge somewhere, but not a great idea.
Izzy, not only do we fill pro stadiums, we fill two college stadiums every weekend. So it can work. It works in L.A. It'll work in Dallas. They'll have to play at Jerry World, but that's okay.
You're buying this. So the idea that one team is, you know, America's team and going to have the majority of fans, and the other team will be a little brother or little sister for a few years, so you're all right with that?
The Clippers sell out. UCLA football sells out. The Chargers now sell out.
Monica McNutt.
It can happen.
So initially I thought this was a terrible idea, but I'm sort of buying into it in the spirit of rebellion. This weekend I read a really great article about really wealthy women buying fake handbags. So in the spirit of rebellion, I do feel like there's a contingency that would support a Dallas other team.
Rebellious, okay. I didn't see you citing your source there coming, but okay. David Dennis Jr.
This is the worst idea. Like, if Michael Jackson is having a concert, nobody's going to go see Tito across the street. Like, this is just not going to happen. I do not understand who's going to go watch the Dallas Big Tucks or the Dallas Yeehaws or whoever Dallas is going to have when there are literally the Cowboys right there in the same city.
All right. The Dallas Yeehaws.
That's a bad news.
Called the Yeehaws?
For David.
Buy or sell three. Wow, what a Tom name. Brady signing on to be an NFL analyst whenever he retires. And are you ready for the number he's reportedly getting from Fox Sports? 10 years, $375 million to be their lead analyst. That's more than he's earned in his entire NFL career to play the football. David, is Tom Brady worth more to talk about the football than he's been to play the football?
Well, obviously he's more valuable to, you know, play football. But let's get it clear. Nobody's watching Tom Brady or giving Tom Brady this money so he can do X's and O's and break down zone coverage. People are fascinated by Tom Brady. They just want to hear him talk about, like, Giselle or, like, avocado ice cream or whatever he talks about. People are fascinated by his life, and that's what you're paying for.
Go Flashy.
What a waste of money. Unbelievable. I watch games.
Not your money,
games.
Though.
I don't care who the announcer is. I don't look in the TV guide and say, who's announcing this game? I'm watching this game. I watch it because of the teams. The announcers are gravy. I can't believe they make so much money. They're nice guys. But nobody, I don't think anybody watches games for the announcers.
Monica, do we need to explain what TV Guide is to Monica here? So back in the 1970s and 80s, there was
this book. I remember they were on paper, and you had like a whole thing with like schedules. Yeah,
that's what, okay, Bill, if you're on TV Guide, you're not the only. Go ahead, Monica.
Well, if Tom Brady needs any points on being paid to talk about sports more than you got paid to play them, you know, I played in college pre-NIL, so I'm also experiencing that and benefiting from it, and I really enjoy it here. But I actually think he might not be that good. I think he might be too intense, which is not fun. We want to have fun on a broadcast.
And Israel Gutierrez.
I find this quite deflating. I feel like it's a way too big of a number, but I will say it's probably the highest point we're ever going to get, because is there another Tom Brady coming after Tom Brady into the booth? I don't think so. This is probably the highest number, right? Right?
It's
crazy.
I love my TV guy.
David Dennis Jr., Monica McNutt, showdown in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Florida Panthers were so close to going down 3-1. Pulled the goalie with 3 minutes to go, and it worked. Reinhardt, late third, goal to tie it. Verhage, the overtime winner. Did the President's Trophy winners get right last night, David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're out shooting their opponent by about 32 shots in the last couple games. You know, I think they're kind of finding their groove, kind of like I do when I'm the King of Diamonds.
All right, I mean, you go there if you want. Monica, please, on the hockey.
On the hockey, the Panthers had one of the best offenses all during the regular season. I think it's finally turning its corner, especially because the Caps are struggling to find a legitimate goalie. I think the Panthers break the curse since 1996 and win a playoff series.
Point McNutt. Showdown 2, Miami Grand Prix. Ratings are out. Highest live F1 race ever in America. 2 million-plus viewers. For comparison's sake, according to sports TV ratings that didn't get to where NASCAR was this weekend, 2.6 for the Darlington race. Another comparison, Kentucky Derby did 16 million. So 1/8 is where F1 found itself compared to horse racing. Are you more convinced or less convinced F1 could be the next big thing in American sports, Monica?
I am less convinced. I mean, up against the other two events you mentioned, there's an established influx of money and a following, but also this feels like something that's going to be super kind of Instagram-y, and I just don't know if it's that great in person as the series on Netflix makes it seem.
Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, I think sort of the idea of this is a little bit cool than actually being there, like watching it on IG. Like Monica said, you get to see, you know, Michael Jordan was there, DJ Khaled was there, Tom Brady was there. It was cool. It's like Coachella, but it's also very, very hot, so I don't know.
Well, it was the second time. You're taking something that's already an enormous success globally and bring it to America. There's a shot. You always got a shot if that's the case. We'll split the point. We'll move on. This video of 7-year-old Talia Crawford losing her shoe here at the start of the 200 meters. We've been watching it all pre-show. We love this. She still smokes the field to win the heat. Look at this. Spent 5 seconds trying to find the shoe and then still won. What's the best part, David?
The best part is what we better be seeing very, very soon. Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, somebody better put this young lady in a commercial, get her a shoe deal. Yes. If not, you are losing money very, very fast.
Monica?
The fact that she was fast enough to come out of her shoe and put her shoe back on, I'm using this word on purpose for my guy whose day is very special, was elite by Talia. Great run.
Very, very magnanimous of you, Monica, to take it. We celebrate David Dennis Jr. today. His first career winning Around the Horn, but more importantly, his first career book launches today. There you go, David.
First of all, thank you, Monica. Second of all, this is a very important day. I want to talk about my dad, my hero, civil rights activist, freedom fighter, important person in my life. Today, you get to hear his story. We've written it. This book, The Movement Made Us, is out today.
Oh, yeah.
Please go get it. And I can't say that without saying also Justin Tinsley, his book, Around the Horn, Pamela Justin Tinsley's book is out today. Get both of them.
Always riding for Justin, your brother, as well.
Way to go, guys.
That's the stories awesome. Of your youth have become the stories of your life. By your father's seeds, your deeds. How wonderful. Congratulations, David.